Welcome to College Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting is Mike Gregg. This is our match preview of the Huddersfield Town match for Fulham. This show is entitled Three Keys to Victory Against Huddersfield Town. Mike will be sharing his three keys to Fulham beating Huddersfield Town, along with several other topics for our preview. However, we will start the show with the College Talk Roundtable. I'm bringing that back for this episode. I have several topics for Mike to discuss. But before I do anything else, I have to welcome back Mike to the show. Mr. Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Yeah, good. Looking forward to talking about really important game this week at the college.
It's a huge match, Mike. I've talked to you about this before. This is a must-win, correct?
Yeah, I don't want to go down that route, but yeah, it is a must-win, yeah. There is no doubt. If we're going to stay up, this is the kind of game where, you know, we have to be picking up 3 points.
Okay, excellent. I totally agree with you. We'll be breaking that down in just a bit, but let's enter the College Talk Roundtable. And I have several topics for you. Let's start here. I want to get your thoughts on the change of formation to three center backs. And this is something that you tweeted out you wanted to see, Mike. So give me your overall impression so far of the formation change.
Yeah, I've been pleased to see it. I think he sort of stumbled on it in some ways. Jokanović used it in the Arsenal game, lost faith in it just after half time, and changed back. We never saw it again under him. And then the last few games, Ranieri sort of gone down that route. And I've always felt, I mean, I've always been a fan of three centre backs. I've mentioned it on the show before when I used to coach and manage. I was trying to get my Sunday teams to do that in the late 80s. So I've always wanted, I can always see the upsides of it. So looking at our squad, in fact, we've done a proper right midfielder. We have good centre-backs, maybe not the greatest full-backs defensively. And we were letting in a ton of goals. So I think you either pack the midfield or you pack the defence. So we've gone to the three at the back. It's good to see Mawson in there. I think Ream's a good choice as well. Adoy's keeping his place at the moment until we get either another right-sided centre-back or Chambers goes there. And right. You, of course, have Marchand who can come in as well. So,
true.
You know, we are covered in that position. And it's interesting that, you know, we've played three centre-backs with the wing-backs pushed forward. And then against Wolves, it was almost a flat-back five. So
right.
You can turn it from a very defensive formation to a, you know, quite an attacking one with the full-backs literally becoming your wingers. And then the question is how many midfielders you have in front of you. So against Wolves, we only had Syrian Chambers. But there is room to fit another midfielder in, and that midfielder might be Kearney. So there's lots of options with it. But I'm very pleased to see Ranieri do it, because I did look at his history, and he's played it a few times, but he's predominantly a flat-back four-man. So right. it's pretty new for him as well.
He's adapting. He's trying to find the best way for Fulham to play. Let me ask you this, Mike. Could this be the way moving forward? And in fact, I just want to read some quotes from Claudio Ranieri that actually I got from Ryan O'Donovan from Football London, talking about the five at the back. This is what Ranieri had to share. Quote, "I think they improve a lot, and I think I found the solution for the team to play five at the back. Of course, it's not dogmatic, the five at the back, or the three if you prefer. But I saw that the team is much better and more solid, more comfortable. And, of course, we need something more when we get the ball, because you know when you're at the bottom, it's not calm and you're more anxious to do something good. We have to continue in this way. This is the right way," unquote. So, Mike, based on those quotes, it gives me the indication that this could be the way forward for Fulham, at least in the immediate future. Your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. I think he's going to stick with this, certainly until he brings in another centre-back. Maybe he feels if he can get another centre-back in, he can go back to just two of them and he can pick, you know, one of the guys that we have, which I suspect would be Mawson. But until that point, I do think we're going to see this, but he does chop and change, so you just never know. He might be playing games. But we saw it work against Arsenal for a half.
Yes, we did.
Fairly well for a half, you know. So I'd expect us to do the same against them this in 2 games' time. So I don't see why I'd change it again. So people talk about wanting a settled team or settled formation. If we can at least get the back three, back five in place, knowing what they're all doing, and Rico looks good playing with that formation as well, then all power to Ranieri doing it, really.
Okay. Right back to you, Mike, because as part of this, you were obviously mentioning the wingback. So I'm curious your thoughts on this, because I think this is the foundation defensively. That's where it starts. But as Alec Coben mentioned in the post-match show, he was talking about the lack of width against Wolves, and that, paraphrasing, because I don't remember exactly what Alec said, but I think he was trying to talk about the fact that the wingbacks weren't getting forward enough. What are your thoughts about that? Was this just a tactic by Ranieri just to be more defensive, and maybe in future matches we'll see the wingbacks get forward more?
Yes, exactly that. That's what I think it was. I said in the match rating show that it was almost like a 7-7 at the back and 3 up top, and let those 3 just get on with it. And that's pretty much what happened. You never saw Siri get near the edge of the box. You never saw Chambers get near the edge of the box in open play. And you very rarely saw Brian get down the wing, Christie a little bit more. So I do believe it was, you're going to play 5 defenders at the back. They're going to stay in the line and they're going to do their job to hold it. We're going to try and get the ball forward to the 3 up top. And that's where Kamara, Schürrle, they were the wingers, if you like, with Mitro in the middle. When you change it slightly and you take one of those guys out and put them in the middle and you end up with 2 up top, that's where your wing backs then become your wingers. And so it's just a slight tactical change which would be required.
Okay.
But I think it was deliberate. So I'm not too concerned that they never got down the line the other day, because I just don't think that was their job on that day.
Very good then, Mike. I'm glad that you shared that. All right. Another topic I want to talk to you about is the speculation from David Kidd in The Sun yesterday with a potential swap deal of Tom Kearney for Jonjo Shelvey of Newcastle United. This is, again, let's just call it what it is, it's speculation, but I found this curious. What are your thoughts about the speculation?
Yeah, this sort of came out yesterday. I mean, yesterday morning I had a message from someone that the club or Tom were looking at moving on in January, and another London club or another club were being mentioned, and there was nothing about a swap deal or anything like that. And then during the day, this sort of came out, didn't it? And as you say, Dave Kidd retweeted, I think it was a Sun post about it. I'm not keen. One, because Shelvey, for a start, has been injured and has only just started back training with Newcastle. He might be a decent player for us to replace Chambers in that defensive role, but certainly he's not a replacement for Kearney. And also, I'm a believer in that. When you're in trouble like we are now, it's better to have more options than less. And I'd rather we kept Tom, for the rest of the season, because we all know what he can offer, and who knows how the team will have evolved formation-wise or even playing style-wise. So I still think he's got an awful lot to offer us. So I hope it's not true.
Okay.
And I'm sure it will. We will certainly find out over the next month. But I don't think the Tom Kearney at Fulham story is over yet. And he's going to show us what he still has to offer. The 20-minute cameo the other day, let's forget it, and let's see if he can somehow find his way back into the starting 11.
Okay, excellent there, Mike. All right. Let me go right back to you. Here's another topic for you that you and I were talking about off air that I'm just curious your thoughts on. Fulham are in a relegation battle. Let's call it what it is. So I'm going to give you 3 scenarios, and I'm curious which one you think is the most difficult out of the 3 at halfway, because we are halfway right now. And the three relegation battles that I'm giving you are these. The Great Escape season of 2007-2008, where Fulham stayed up, but it was a great escape. The 2013-2014 season, which saw Fulham get relegated, and this current season. So I'm curious your thoughts on all three scenarios halfway through. Which one do you think is the most difficult at this point of the season?
Where we are now, quite frankly. If you look back to, I mean, I don't know if you've seen my tweets today or anyone has.
I have, Mike. That's what got me to think about this.
I've gone stats overboard this morning.
It's okay.
I've gone through the last 18 seasons for the bottom four positions and how many points 20th had, 19th, 18th and 17th had at the 19-game stage and how many points they had at the 38-game stage. And it's sort of the way it works out is if a team, you know, most people think if you get 10 points at 19 games, then that position will probably have 20 points at the 20th game. At the end of the season, it doesn't quite work out like that. It's quite odd that, I've got it, the stats for all the tables, is that the bottom half of the leagues always outscore their first half of the season and the top half of the leagues always underscore. So there's an 80% chance you'll get more points in the second half of the season. So when you look back at those, you know, the relegation season, I think we were 18th and we had 16 points and we ended up with 33, I think it was right, or 32. And then you look at the Great Escape season, we had 14 points and we ended up with 36. So, you know, that's 22 points. In the Great Escape season, we got 22 points more in the second half of the season and stayed up on goal difference. Currently, if it pans out the way I think it's going to pan out.
Yep.
You know, we need to get another 23 points from the last 19 games. So it's a momentous challenge we have on now. It's a bit of a unique season. The points are as low as they've ever been, which everyone's got. There's a good four, five, six teams involved at the moment, and there's only 4 points separating us and teams like Southampton. So it can all change, but it has to change fairly quickly. So if we do stay up, and if I do think it will go to the last game, I think we will look back on it as even greater than the Great Escape.
Wow. That's why I wanted to pose it to you, Mike, because you are my stats guy, and I'm glad that you mentioned that to just really put into perspective what is going on right now and how difficult of a task Claudio Ranieri has keeping Fulham in the league. And, you know, I obviously have to give in and say we're in a relegation battle and we are in a lot of trouble. And this is all true, and the stats back that up. And that's why I'm glad that we had this discussion. So, summarizing, Mike, you see this as more difficult than any, and that this would be a better achievement than even the Great Escape.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason I'd say that is, I'm just going to bring something up on my computer just so that I can explain to people the way I work it out. So at the halfway stage, because Roy wasn't in charge then, but at the halfway stage in the Great Escape season, we were 18th. And like I say, we got 22 points over the rest of the season. And so for the rest of that second half of the season, we were the 14th best team. That's the kind of form we needed. And we did it with that last day win and on goal difference. For us to now, if we can get to 34 points, which is what I think we need, need to be the 12th or the 13th best team. So we need to do better than we did under Roy. Now, Roy started quite slowly and our end of season run was really quite good. But, you know, I've got all these monthly targets. I've decided we can't get a point against the top six, all this kind of stuff. But yeah, we really will have to be as good a team as like Brighton are doing at the moment, for example. You know, so we need to take what they've done. And we're starting at a very, very low base. And so we need to accumulate points against those teams around us and sort of in the middle of the table as well. But yeah, it will be. I truly believe if we stay up, we will look back on it as a greater achievement.
Wow, that's unbelievable, Mike, to say the least. And the 2013-2014 season where Fulham did get relegated, so you see that as, not as difficult as the Great Escape and this current season?
Well, no, because at that point, halfway through the season, yeah, we were 18th, but we had 16 points. We were level with Palace.
Yeah.
Cardiff, West Brom, Norwich, I'm looking at the table now, they were only 2 or 3 points ahead of us. What killed us that from that point on, you know, people talk about, oh, we should have kept Mühlenstein and all that. The fact is, over the next 6 games, we got 1 point.
Yep.
And then we sacked him. You know, so, you know, I don't look back on Mühlenstein as some missed opportunity at all, because he may well have been a good, better coach to have in the Championship with the youngsters, but I don't think we would have stayed up with him.
Okay.
And there's, can I just say, there's a real sort of, we're in a very similar situation. People talk about Mühlenstein and how he got the draw at Man U and how we did well against Liverpool those last 2 games. He was turning it around and bang, got the sack. And people are saying the same now about Jokanović, how the Liverpool game, we did all right and maybe we should have kept him. And that's going to be the story going on now. Everyone's always going to look back at, you know, the fact that we lost 7 in a row, no one seems to be mentioning it. So,
it's a good point, Mike.
But it is almost a mirror image. You know, the difference we have is we have Huddersfield, Cardiff, you know, Cardiff again,
right.
All these teams around us who are, you know, they're not that much better. I think we need to pick up some points in January, pick up some players and start February off with a real push. But yeah, it's going to be bloody hard, bloody hard. I'd say at the moment I'd probably say there's a 75% chance we're getting relegated at the moment.
Okay, and based on stats, I certainly understand it, and looking at the fixtures, the way that they are looking, Mike, the way everything is laid out for the rest of the season, I certainly understand that. It is difficult, and the fact that the two matches that we're going to need to win, Mike, are near the end of the season. We're talking Cardiff City and, of course, Newcastle United. So it is a difficult situation, and that's why I have completely changed my mind on this and understand why you are putting 75% relegated. I agree with it. I totally agree with it. That's why it puts all the importance on every match against teams around us, especially this upcoming match, which we're going to get into right now, and how vital it is, because they need the 3 points. They can't afford a draw. I'm going to say that right now, and I'll say that even if they get a draw, that it really is going to make the task so much harder, because they need every single point that they can against teams around them.
There's literally no room for error.
No, there isn't.
Russ, because
I totally agree.
If we beat Huddersfield, we then have January where we've got Arsenal and Tottenham, which
Brighton. You have to beat these teams around you. I mean, I know Brighton's farther up the table, but like you said, Mike, unless the caveat here is, Mike, and I know you are already saying no to getting any points off of, say, the top six. If they do get some points off the top six, maybe that changes it a little bit, but they would have to, correct?
But all that is a bonus, isn't it? I see it as
yes.
a bonus. So let's say we beat Huddersfield and then we get a draw at Arsenal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You then don't want to go to Burnley and lose, because then that means, because we need to get something at Burnley. So
very true, Mike. That's a good point.
Otherwise, it's just pointless in some ways, because, you know, you over in January, if we can get 3 points, from the Burnley and the Brighton game. So one of those we need to win at least. If we could get a win and a draw, then we'd be ahead of my sort of targets. But then straight after that, you have Palace away. So, you know, and they're in the mix as well. So there are, we really, it's the teams around us and that bottom and that middle bunch who we just have to keep, we have to start getting points off. And the hardest thing for us is we have all the big guys at home. So we've got to do this away from home the majority of the time against these other sides. So, but given the way the cottage is and the way our fans are sometimes, that might not be a bad thing. And maybe we'd be better set up to do it away from home.
Okay. Very good there, Mike. All right. Let's get into our Huddersfield. Tom, I'm sorry, Mike. Do you have something else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I was going to say Merry Christmas on that note.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our Huddersfield Town preview. Let's start with a stats comparison, Mike. Get your thoughts on this. I do this from whoscored.com. These are all offensive categories, but it just might give you a feel of the differences between the two teams. Let's start where these teams are in all these categories with goals. Huddersfield are dead last with 12 goals. Fulham are tied at 16th with 17 shots per game. Huddersfield Town are 16th with 11.5. Fulham are 11th at 12.2. Possession, Huddersfield Town are 10th in the league at 48.3. Fulham are 11th at 48.2. Passing percentage, Huddersfield Town are 15th at 76.4. And Fulham are 9th at 78.7. Crosses per game, Huddersfield Town are tied at first, Mike, with 23. Fulham are tied at 15th with 15. Long balls, Huddersfield Town are at second at 73. Fulham are tied at 7th with 66. It just tells you how different Fulham are now playing. Short passes, Huddersfield Town are 13th with 361. Fulham are still 7th at 385. Okay, Mike, what are your thoughts about the stats comparison there? What stands out to you between these two teams?
Yeah, Russ, I mean, they're fairly even. You know, shots per game, goals per game, conversion rate even is very similar. I think this is, you know, you can see why we're both at the bottom of the table in many ways. Everything says a draw. What's interesting is I know you use whoscored.com. It's stuff like their positional statistics, you know, what side they attack on. They're very right-sided. Yep. Which means they're going to be against Schürrle and Brian if he goes with that formation. You know, it's very light in the middle. But then you look at their formation recently and it's three at the back. It's packed midfield. So this is why I think, you know, we'll see a change to, you know, the formation we had the other day. Not a formation, but, you know, a slight change to match up in midfield. So, there's nothing really that stands out a lot. One of the things they do say is that Huddersfield steal the ball a lot from us, so we can't be sleeping. You know, there's a lot of criticisms of Siri losing the ball, and I think that's, you know, because they're packing the midfield, that's probably where they're doing it. But I think for this game, yeah, we're going to see a tactical change slightly, and I would hope that the players who played in that Huddersfield game at their place, which really was the nail in the coffin, I think, for Savisa. It was such a luck last performance. We didn't do anything. It wasn't a must win, but it was a must get a performance, and it was dreadful. It was, you know, it was up there with Sheffield United at home under Muhlenstein as
oh, I remember,
you know,
that
poor performances go. It's evenly balanced. But it's going to be tough, you know, the two worst teams in the league playing each other. But, you know, it's not going to be pretty.
No, it's definitely not going to be pretty, Mike. And let me go right back to you, because you already talked about the first match, and Fulham were extremely poor in this match. But can we take something out of that to give them motivation in this upcoming match? What do you take from that bad loss?
Pride. If I was a player, if I was in that game and I look back on it, if I was Ranieri, I might even sit them all down again and get them to watch it to see how appalling they all were.
I totally agree with that. That's a great idea, by the way.
So it should be in the dressing room before the game. It should be, you know, Ranieri really shouldn't have to say much. It should be the players there going, you know, we owe it to ourselves, the fans and everyone, to go out there and show them, you know, we're a better side than that performance. So, yeah, it's just show that game again, really.
That was a terrible game. I don't think I ever want to watch that game back, Mike. I honestly watched it and I watched it again, and I can't believe I watched it a second time. It was horrible. All right, let's now get into it, my friend, with our three keys to victory. Before we get there, let me ask you your starting 11 and formation, because you said that you could see a tweak in the formation. So let's start with the formation, and then give me your starting 11.
Yeah, so they play three at the back, you know, similar to Wolves in some ways. And, you know, the argument could be that, you know, you start with Kamara and Schürrle and Mitrovic again. But I think because they pack the midfield a lot more, I think we'll see a slight change. So it'll still be three centre-backs, you know, five defenders. It'll be the two sitting midfielders, and then it'll be the guy behind the two strikers. So, you know, five, two, one, two or something like that. But okay. I definitely see us putting three in midfield anyway.
Okay, very good. What do you think will be the starting 11 that Ranieri will use here?
Yeah, so I think the one change will be Schürrle out, and I think Kearney will come in, and he will go behind Kamara and Mitrovic. So that I would expect that, you know, to be one of them. Knowing Ranieri, it'll be completely different. I think that's what he'll do. It will be a chance for Tom, as we've been saying, to you know, come out, show what he can do. But it also puts that extra man in the centre of midfield. So our wingers will become Christie and Brian. If there was a third chain, if there was a second chain, sorry, I wouldn't be at all shocked to see Session on play in place of Brian, you know, to get him on the pitch. But, you know, at the moment, I think it stick with just the one change.
Okay, Mike, very good. All right, let's get your three keys to victory for Fulham. This is a must win. Give me the three things Fulham need to do against Huddersfield Town to get all 3 points.
Score early, because the longer the game goes on, I think we do have a bit of a mental weakness at times. So, yeah, score early to calm the crowd down. Ranieri has to get his tactics right. So he has to make that decision on the midfield, or does he go with the three up top? And we need a big performance from Mawson again, I believe, because, you know, they do go long, Huddersfield.
Yep.
You know, they're very, very good in the air, set pieces. Big team. So, yeah, for me, Mawson, unofficial captain, if you like, or unofficial second, third, fourth choice captain, I don't know. But, yeah, Mawson, for me, Ranieri has to get the tactics right with regards to the lineup, and we need to score early to calm everyone down.
Okay, excellent. And I'm glad that you talked about set pieces and the fact that they – attempt crosses a great deal, and looking at whoscored.com, that shows that, and the video that I've watched on them, it is true. It really is about their set pieces and how much they cross into the box, and those are going to be the ways that they're going to create opportunities, and Fulham need to be solid. But I agree with you, Mike. I think it really comes down to all that you said there, my friend. All right, let's get right to it, my friend. Give me your prediction, and I'll give you mine.
3-1.
Wow. Great minds think alike, Mike. I wrote down 3-1. I'm going with the same result. How confident do you feel? I actually feel very confident going into this match based on what I've seen. And I also want to mention this because I think this is going to be a factor in this match. I know he's been out a little bit, but they don't have Aaron Moy, and I think he's very important for what they do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but they're bottom for a reason. They're on a terrible run. If we're going to stay up, you know, we can't look at games like this and think, you know, I'm an Arin. You've got to just say it. You know, we have to win. You've got to go for the 3-1, if not more. I mean, one of the interesting things which we haven't mentioned is, you know, we go on about how poor our goal difference is, or it has
yes.
been. And then you look at Burnley on minus 24, Cardiff on minus 20, Huddersfield minus 22, and we're on minus 26. So
it's getting closer.
it's getting closer, and if we are going to pick up points, that's going to reduce as well. So, we need to go into this game looking to beat the team that are bottom, you know, and we're still going to be in the bottom three, and we're probably still going to be in the bottom three for another two or three games. So, you know, we just have to accept that. But it's about inch by inch clawing those points and putting them in the bag and hoping, because it's not all down to us, that the other teams stay around within reach. And then we're into January and we can try and strengthen and take it from there. So, yeah, you've got to be confident going into this game.
Totally agree, Mike. And you actually just brought something up that I wanted to just ask you real quick, and then we'll end this show, because I'm doing this a lot now. I'm watching the matches from teams around us, and I watched that Southampton match, and I can't believe I was actually really supporting West Ham in this match. That's what the situation makes you do, because I don't like West Ham at all, but I was so happy when they won that match last night.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, you know, it's survival for us, isn't it? So you've got to cheer on teams you don't like. I still I'm looking at the bottom seven. I think Crystal Palace have enough to stay out of it. I think Newcastle have a fragile underbelly, and a lot will depend on what happens in January with them. You know, whether they sell the club, whether they spend any money on players.
Yep.
Or what happens to Benitez? You know, Southampton, they had a bit of a kick with two wins, and then they reverted to type. So they're still struggling along with us. And Cardiff are Cardiff. You know, he will pick up points here and there. But again, I still think Cardiff will revert to type. They will get found out second half.
I hope so.
They won't. The other teams will have too much for them. So they will still be there or thereabouts with us. Burnley, I'm pretty sure Dice can turn it around. You know, for them to suddenly turn into this very poor team, letting in more goals now than they let in all of last season is really shocking. And I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but you can't expect them to keep doing what they're doing. You know, you think they're going to turn it around, so it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough, but. You know, we're playing all these teams fairly soon. So, it's to make up some ground.
Okay, excellent, Mike. Great show. But let's wrap this up of this episode of Cottage Talk, which is our preview for the Huddersfield Town match. I want to, again, thank my co-host, Mike Gregg, for joining me. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.